Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, apology has been a very newsworthy thing lately, at least calls for apology and actual apologies and half-hearted apologies or sorry, not sorry apologies. We've had apologies that actually apologise a little and then turn around and double down on the original offensive words or actions and restate them again. On Twitter, Annabelle Crabb described the apology that Senator David Leinhelm proposed be read by fellow Senator Sarah Hanson-Young as mansplaining, raised to the level of performance theatre. So many stories at the moment. If you look around us, there's this apology issue aspect. Elon Musk and the Thai-based diver, Craig Kelly apologising to the father of three children who died on the MH17 flight, the Uber rideshare company, Starbucks apologising for black men being arrested while they were just waiting in the store. Why are apologies so tricky? To realise in the first instance, I guess, that we need to give an apology is the first part. We have to acknowledge our own sense of guilt and that we were wrong. And that's very hard. It's hard to acknowledge that to your fellow man. It's hard to acknowledge that before God, isn't it? But this is a deeply, deeply biblical thing. And apology and forgiveness are so powerfully linked together. Well, let's learn how to make a good apology. We'll use a framework developed by the Peacemakers Organisation, and I'll give you some details of that in a few minutes' time. Steve Frost is a family lawyer. He runs the not-for-profit Horizons Family Law Centre in Sydney's northwest. As a family lawyer, he knows the value of a good apology.
A lot of the work that we do is face-to-face in mediations with mums and dads 3 feet apart. And one of the things I've learnt from that is it's actually really, really hard, even for good-hearted people, to make apologies at all, and if they make them, to make them well.
Maybe it's harder in family law because it really is so close to home.
It is. It's a visceral area of law. People hurt deeply, and it's a hard area for communication generally.
Hmm. Well, what's going on then when we make an apology? What's the transaction that's supposed to take place between apologer and apologee?
Look, I think it is viewed as a transaction, and I'm not 100% sure that's the healthiest way of looking at it. I think in our culture today, an apology is almost the purchase price for forgiveness. And whilst I understand that in a cultural sense, I'm not at all sure that that's what we see in Scripture. I think in Scripture what we see is apologies being given as an expression of who we are. We say the words that best express who we are in Christ and who we wish to be. And we hope that that will be effective somehow in restoring relationship. But we say them not to force a person to forgive us, but rather to express our own humility and desire for relationship.
No, well, that's interesting. Let's explore that. So an apology is, you said, the price of forgiveness. So in order to forgive you, I need to know that you're repentant. And yet you're saying the Bible kind of goes, well, if we've done something wrong, we just need to accept it before God, whether or not there are consequences that are beneficial to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And accepting consequences of wrongdoing is hard. It's scary. It makes giving apologies terrifying because we're fearful that we're putting ourselves in a vulnerable position. But I think the model of Scripture is not only to express apologies as an expression of who we are, but to extend forgiveness as an expression of who we are. So when you see apologies and forgiveness line up, it's got enormous creative potential because there's two people who are genuinely trying to give expression to the divine life in them.
Well, I can remember in my own life, an apology that was made to me meant a tremendous amount after decades, really, of remembered hurt. And really, it set up a whole new pathway towards seeing a particular thing from a different perspective. It is a powerful gift you give someone.
It really is. And a good apology, by which I mean one that expresses a person's character well, their heart well, their intention well, it really is just an absolute, I talk about them as the grace grenade. When you pull the pin out of a great apology, it really can totally bring about radical change.
Yeah. Well, what does the Bible tell us ought to be involved in an apology? And I know you've got the piecewise methodology, which you use in your own practice. Very helpful. We'd like to teach people that tonight. So where do we go for that?
Yeah, so Peacewise is an organisation that tries to help people not check their faith at the door when they get into tricky seasons. And they've put together a framework that I think works really well as a way of giving expression to who you are. But I also think it's a really effective way of moving towards restoration. So they talk about there being seven A's of a great apology. The first of those is to really make sure that you address everyone involved. If you've wronged one person, then give an apology to one person. But if in truth you've wronged four people, don't just apologise to the two who are easy and forget the other two. talk to all of them.
And if you send one of those all staff emails and flamed a particular person, don't just apologise to the person. You really ought to send it to the same group.
And that's the important thing, is if a person knows they've been humiliated in front of a group of 17 people, to go privately just to the one may not be the best way of bringing about restoration. So addressing everybody involved, admitting really specifically as well. I think we saw when the cricket scandal broke recently with the ball tampering, there were some great apologies in there that I think gave expression to who people wanted to be. But there were some apologies as well that were a bit opaque about what the behaviour was that was actually being apologised for. And I think that that makes it much harder for people to move towards trust and restoration when they're not quite sure what you're apologising for.
Yes, I think the original apologies were so inadequate that they made the consequences inevitable, that the cricket captain, vice-captain and the others had to resign. But if they'd come out and said, look, we're actually, what we've done is this, the consequences of that, they probably would have convinced themselves that they had to resign, to be fair.
But very, very possibly. And the value of a great apology where you really specifically describe what it is that you think you've done wrong, it's almost, you can, that story in scripture where Jesus says, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. When there's a great apology with a really detailed acknowledgement of the wrong that's been done, you can almost hear the stones hitting the ground because there are people who were just waiting to say, don't you realize how wrong it was that you did this, who now can see that you know it was wrong because you've just included it in your apology. That's why it's so powerful.
So those are the first two A's. The third?
Yes. Yeah. So avoid if, buts, and maybes. It's an absolute addiction in apologies to say, well, if I hurt your feelings or if anyone was offended by what I did, then I'm sorry. And it just undercuts the whole value of the apology. Either you understand that you hurt someone or you don't think you did. If you don't yet understand you've hurt anyone, don't apologise. You'd ask some questions. Be a listener and a learner. But avoiding ifs and buts and maybes is crucially important for a good apology as well.
Well, we've heard a lot of those in recent days, and we've also heard a lot of the next one done wrong. That's acknowledge the hurt.
Yes.
So you hear, look, I'm sorry if you were offended, but...
Yes.
So there's two problems in there. If you were offended, well, no, you were offended.
Yes.
And the but, here comes my justification, sorry, that fails on two of the A's, avoid and acknowledge.
Yes, yeah, and acknowledging the hurt's really important in the same way as admitting specifically helps a person who's been hurt or wronged realise you get it. Acknowledging the hurt that you've caused from your actions does the same thing. If a person's just begging to know, do you know how much you hurt me? To hear you put language around that is incredibly humble and hard to do, but restorative if it's done well.
Mm. And now the next is to accept the consequences. This may be one of the biggest stumbling blocks for us in our society, and it is such an example of the way we want to just turn our back on what God is telling us, or what God has to say to us, or what we ought to be feeling before Him. If we don't acknowledge, surely, that there are consequences to our actions, then we'll never really be able to go to God in complete penitence and say, I can only move on from here by your grace. So in an apology situation, what is it to accept the consequences?
It will vary from apology to apology, Stephen, but I guess the big idea is just to say, I don't, by giving an apology, escape scot-free from the effects of what I've done. One of the incredibly hard things when someone knows that they've actually really hurt another person is sometimes that never gets better. And to demand of a person that they magically get better because you've given them an apology is not how it works. That's not what love looks like. And equally, in more serious wrongs, sometimes there are police consequences. Sometimes there are investigations or employment consequences that just simply have to happen. And if the apology seems to be being given to try and diminish the consequences or escape the consequences, again, in terms of giving expression to who you really wish to be and pursuing restored relationship, it's just not going to have that effect.
Yeah. You might be advised by your lawyers not to make an admission. That's not the same thing as a biblical apology. Do you, as a lawyer, do you find there's a conflict for your clients in that?
Look, in the area of law that I practice in family law, particularly to do with parenting disputes, which is the focus of the charity that I run, getting restored relationship is the biggest solution to the underlying problem. The underlying problem is we have two people who used to love each other who still need to learn how to be parents together, and being able to work together through hard times, acknowledge when you've broken something and commit yourself to fixing it up is really, really important.
The sixth, so we've had address everybody, avoid ifs, buts and maybes, admit specifically, acknowledge the hurt, accept the consequences, and then the sixth A is alter your behaviour.
Yeah, to alter your behaviour, and then the seventh, to give the game away, is to ask for forgiveness. But the two of those together really, again, have an enormous potent effect on potentially restoring a relationship. If you've cleared the ground, if you've explained how you've hurt someone, you've acknowledged the extent to which you've hurt them, now what they're wondering is this just going to be a repeating cycle? And for you to actually be able to describe how you're going to alter your behaviour if you find yourself in the same situation again is the first step towards rebuilding trust, because they can start to think, I can remain in relationship with you and it's not inevitable that we'll find ourselves back in this situation again. And then to attach that to asking for forgiveness is to put yourself as the person who's giving the apology in the vulnerable position of perhaps being knocked back, but hopefully not.
Our guest on Open House is Steve Frost. He's a lawyer. He's the director of the Horizons Family Law Centre, a not-for-profit advice and mediation centre operating in Sydney's western suburbs. Steve is also trained in the Peacewise principles of confession and apology. And 1-300-40-2020, if you've known the value of a good apology, if you've received forgiveness from somebody else as a result of that, if you've known what it is to forgive somebody, give us a call now, 1-300-40-2020. We've had a number of very famous non-apologies in recent times, but I want to start with David Lionhelm. He said, look, I will apologise to you. So he didn't even get on the train. I will apologise to you if you accept the following, you know, two or three preconditions. In other words, Senator Hanson Young had to basically meet him on his terms. That's one of the greatest non-apologies of all time.
It's a great example of a transactional apology. I'll give you this if you give me that. And look, the bedrock of Scripture is about grace, not transaction. It's about a gift freely given. And an apology is a gift freely given, just as forgiveness is.
What about Craig Kelly, Liberal member for Hughes? Now, he got into trouble during the week because he suggested, well, look, we want to go a bit soft on the issue of an apology from Russia for MH17, because after all, we need to get on with them. We've got to trade with them. What's going on there?
Look, there's something slightly ironic about a person entering into a discussion about apologies and then needing to give one themselves. he misjudged the level of hurt that had been caused, quite understandably, by the actions of Russia and the death of individuals from Australia. And in the end, part of what he needed to do was give two apologies, one which was qualified and didn't have that effect of really laying it all out there and being vulnerable and pursuing understanding and restored relationship, and then one that attempted to do that more fully.
We also had Elon Musk. What a strange thing happened there. He came across wanting to help. You may question his motives. In fact, somebody did question his motives, building a mini submarine for the rescue in the cave. When that was questioned by someone, he came out and then called one of the rescuers a pedophile. His apology was another one of those, I'm sorry if you were offended, but you offended me first.
Yeah, look, I guess coming back to the idea that an apology really at its best ought to be an expression of who you are. One of the things that I'd need to acknowledge is I don't know any of these people we're talking about now, and I don't know whether their apologies express who they are or not. To go on the attack, even in the midst of apologising for something, for some people, actually, to be honest, is an expression of who they are, but it's incredibly unlikely to bring about forgiveness and restored relationship.
Is there ever a time, Steve, to say, well, look, I don't think I'm able to apologise to you at the moment because there are some things that we need to clarify first?
Yeah, I think that's actually an incredibly helpful thing. I can easily imagine a number of different settings where that might be the right thing to do. The one that most immediately leaps to mind for me is if you know that you've broken something in a relationship with a person, but you're really not sure what it is. You can just feel that something's not what it used to be, and you can guess at maybe what it was you've done or why the person's hurt, but you're really not sure. You can't enter into an apology that talks at that point about admitting specifically or acknowledging the hurt because you don't yet know what it is. So in that kind of setting, to actually go exploring, to listen, to learn, to invite the person to teach you, in a sense, what it is that you've done that's caused the damage, the extent of the hurt that has been undertaken, and as well to talk about what would I need to do next time? How would I need to alter my behaviour to avoid us getting back into this kind of situation again?
Now, with a skilled mediator present, I presume you can then get a two-way conversation going, two-way forgiveness happening. What would each of us need to do in order to move forward together, in your case, as a married couple?
Yeah, so in marriages, in co-parenting relationships, in employment relationships where there's difficulties in churches, all of these kinds of situations involve a person who you may need to be in relationship with for the rest of your life. And certainly to be able to become the kind of people who can express themselves in their apologies, who can be understanding and merciful to each other and can make new beginnings is incredibly important.
Hmm. Well, thank you for those seven A's that I'll repeat in a moment. But Steve, thank you so much for your practice. Thanks for what you do. And thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Steve, and all the best.
Steve Frost, and he's from the Horizons Family Legal Advice Centre, Mediation Centre. It's in the northwestern suburbs of Sydney, and you'll find them at Horizons Family Law, horizonsfamilylaw.org.au. So the seven A's of confession, now this is the piecewise and peacemaker framework for this confession leading to apology. Here they are again. Address everyone involved. Avoid if, buts and maybes. Admit specifically what happened, your attitudes, your actions. Acknowledge the hurt. Accept the consequences. And alter your behaviour and ask for forgiveness. You'll find that framework and some more great resources at peacewise.org.au. peacewise.org.au.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.